I'm filling out FAFSA forms these days. You know what FAFSA forms are? Some of you remember those, and I'm sorry to bring it up. Some of you are in the midst of them. I welcome your help. Some of you have those to look forward to, Sarah Bixby and others. FAFSA forms. Student aid forms. What happens is, before the powers that be give out grants, they need to know a few things about you. How much you make, how much you have saved. They need to know how many kids you have. They need to know how much money you're hiding away in offshore accounts, all of those kinds of things. And I am playing with those forms right now because I have three students at home. Well, in various degrees of being home and launched. I'm also aware that there are four tax days that are important to me. Ministers, in case you didn't know, no matter what Luther said about ministers, clergy ministers are considered self-employed. And that means we get to pay taxes on April 15th, but we get to the privilege of paying quarterly taxes on April 15th, on June 15th, on September 15th, then they give us a break for Christmas, and January 15th. I know those dates better than I know the birth dates of my nephews. And my sister and brother would say the same. Politicians, of course, are talking about tax reform right now, but I can tell you how it's going to come out. We're going to have to pay taxes. The thing about taxes is you have to pay those, but then there are other bills and obligations, right? Financial ones. And I don't want to depress you, but if you have a neighborhood association, if you have a car payment, if you have, what else could it be? Life insurance, flood insurance, if you live on a creek or a river or a plain. There's water and there's gas and there's electric, there's sanitation and there's mortgage. Where do I stop? Cell phones, internet, newspapers, home repairs. I haven't even mentioned food and clothing. Health insurance. I find that when people do a budget on paper, you come out ahead. But then when you live, it's a lot harder to pull off. Jesus is asked, should we pay our taxes to the state or not? And what's at question is a couple things. One is everybody in that day knew that the tax collectors were corrupt and greedy and often known for lining their own pockets. So it wasn't a fair system. Jesus, should we be a part of this? The other thing that's going on is the Jewish people, the land of Palestine, is not their own. They are occupied by a foreign empire, namely the Roman Empire. Not the Holy One, Caesar's empire is occupying with forces and control and taxing the Jews to pay for the occupying force. Jesus, should we be a part of this or not? If Jesus says, yes, you should be a part of it, then a good Jew is going to say, well, then you don't take seriously the commands of Moses and you seem to support an evil empire over us and not put God first. And there were many Jews, like the Zealots, who followed Jesus just 30 years later, who in a Jewish revolt against Rome rose up to have an independence movement, and Rome responded by destroying Jerusalem and leveling the temple. Jesus said, no, this is not about an insurrection. This is not about a military uprising of freedom fighters to get Rome out. Jesus said, none of that. Pay your taxes. On the other side, if Jesus says, pay your taxes, some are good. If he says, don't pay your taxes, then he's a seditionist and a troublemaker. He is between a rock and a hard place. Who knew the Bible was so interesting with tax debates and political revolutions and religious conflict? He's right in the middle of the debate. And so what he says is, let me see the coin you're talking about. The image on the coin is the image, the face, the stamp of the emperor. And so, you know, Jesus says, well, it's got the emperor's face on it. Give it to the emperor. Jesus will not be a part of an insurrection. Jesus says, pay your taxes. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on, And he talks about giving to God what belongs to God. They never asked him that question. But what he does is he says, you know, the emperor's image is on a coin, but you were made in the image of God. You bear the image of Almighty God. So give to God what is rightly God's. Jesus says the emperor has an empire, but it's a smaller one compared to the empire in the kingdom of God. And you have a responsibility to both. It's a lot easier to pay a utility bill. Even in the summer, when my utility bill gets up over, even in the summer, when those bills are high, or after Christmas, when that credit card is high, it's easier to pay that off than to ever say, God, I have paid off what I owe you. How do we know what we're supposed to pay to God? How do we know what's due? When is it due? How do we live this out? You know, the Presbyterian hymn, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. We live in debt to God for all of God's goodness and blessings. Maybe that's why Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts. We don't ever say, God, I paid you off. Done. Now, my experience with most people is that they pay their bills first and they meet their tax obligations and they make sure that the mortgage and all those things are paid, and that the gift to God is just sort of an afterthought if it comes up at all. And I don't know why that is. I've told you what I thought were great parents, and I love how they raised me, and I try in my parenting to learn from what they've done. But you know one thing they never talked to us about ever? Is money. You didn't have that conversation. Well, so how are kids supposed to learn about giving to God? The only money I ever put in the plate as a kid was that quarter my grandmother would slip me. How are we supposed to learn unless adults help kids understand what it looks like to give to God that which is God's? One parent I know who was teaching her kids was here. She was a homeless woman, and she was with us as part of Family Promise. And so my job that night was to sleep in service to Jesus. So I came to sleep here, and it was a great night's sleep. And I love that. That's a great way to volunteer, by the way. You come and you sleep so that the family has somebody in the building if there's an emergency, which, of course, there's not an emergency. But before I went to bed that night, and these families go to bed early because their day starts so soon, I had the privilege of having dinner with a family. And one of the homeless moms said to me, you know what's great about this ministry? We don't have to pay our rent. We save on utility bills. We don't have any utility bills. The church brings us food, so we don't have to pay food. She goes, I'm saving so much money, and that's going to help me get on my feet faster so my kids and I have a place to live. That's why we're doing it. But like Jesus, talking to the Herodians and the Pharisees, she went on. I didn't ask her to go on. She went on, and now she started sounding like a preacher. And her voice got a little louder, a little more charismatic. And she said, but the money that I continue to give is to God. I never miss my pledge to the church. That's not optional, she said. That comes first. Doesn't matter what else is going on in my... And on she went. And her kids were at the table with her. Imagine being homeless and having your mom say, I never miss a gift to the church, no matter what. I don't know if she's right or wrong, wise or not, but she does remind me of that woman Jesus pointed out that said, look, there's this poor woman who put in just two coins. That was all she had. She gave all she had to God. Giving to God. Not what's left, but what's right. Giving to God, not at the end, but first. How do you do that? Jesus doesn't give an answer of how much. Jesus really puts it in the hands of the people. You give to God that which belongs to God. You get to define it. He does ask that we engage with it. So friends, in a couple of weeks, you're going to get a pledge card in the mail. I hope you'll at least engage with it and pray about it. And if you have kids, talk to your kids about it. Don't just do it in a hidden way. They'll never learn how to give. They'll never understand what it means to put God first and then around that shape your life. Jesus, the Pharisees, and the Herodians said, trying to trap him, either of blasphemy or sedition. Jesus, should we pay taxes to the evil empire? And the Savior's answer affirmed their responsibility as citizens of the nation. But he went on to remind them that they are also citizens of heaven and children of God, and therefore responsible to give to God that which is God's. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.